This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block. Tomorrow night outside Detroit, citizens get a chance to voice their opinions about who can own local media, newspapers, TV, and radio stations. The town hall meeting in Dearborn, Michigan, is part of a series of efforts to give vent to public outrage over media deregulation. It was last year that the Federal Communications Commission voted to allow single companies to own more TV and radio stations and to own a newspaper and broadcast outlet in the same market. The FCC received more than 2 million letters protesting that decision. The House and Senate passed bills to roll back the new rules, and earlier this summer, a court ordered the FCC to reconsider. Paul Ingalls attended a town hall meeting on the subject in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and filed this report.
Bearded, bespectacled bluegrass musician Claude Stevenson was going to attend a town hall meeting to complain that he can't get his music played on local radio. But when his 2 minutes came up, Stevenson changed his tune and complained about something else.
At 5 o'clock today, I walked out of a grocery store on the West Mesa and saw a plume of smoke coming from the valley floor. I panicked. I looked at it. I realized that plume of smoke was coming from my house. I got in my car, I turned on the radio, station after station after station. I heard oldies, I heard schlock, I heard talk, I heard any kind of thing you want to hear on commercial radio except what I wanted to hear. What the hell is going on in the valley with that fire?
Stevenson's house, it turned out, wasn't ablaze, but it was threatened by a large tree and brush fire. Stevenson blamed the dearth of local radio news on deregulation in the 1980s that lifted requirements on the amount of news and community programming that local stations had to provide. Today, only one commercial station in Albuquerque even does a local afternoon newscast. Nearly 300 people packed the community college auditorium for a meeting that lasted almost 5 hours. Dozens spoke, including Ray Preshnock of the New Mexico Public Interest Research Group.
Of our radio stations in the Albuquerque and Santa Fe market, there are 48 stations, 10 of which are owned by Clear Channel, 9 by Citadel, and 9 by American General Media. Only 5 of these 48 stations are free of any corporate ownership.
Sitting patiently, listening, and watching the parade of speakers through wire-rimmed glasses was FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein, a Democrat who's been at each one of these town hall meetings, sometimes alone, sometimes with fellow commissioners. Adelstein, along with the only other Democratic commissioner, Michael Copps, were the dissenters in the 3-2 vote in June of 2003 to relax ownership rules. Adelstein says he warned his fellow commissioners that the public would oppose the changes.
I told them before, be careful what you do, because I've been out talking to people around the country, and they are really concerned and getting really angry about this, and they ignored my advice. They went ahead and voted for it. And now, again, I can go back to them and say, things have not subsided.
The FCC has sponsored 4 town halls. The media activist group FreePress.net is sponsoring tomorrow night's session in Dearborn and also hosted the one in Albuquerque, where Adelstein heard from low-income single moms, American Indians from reservations, and white-collar professionals.
My name is Tony Jeffries. I'm a lawyer and a certified public accountant. I'm not the sort of person you'd normally find at a protest meeting, but I'm mad. I'm radicalized, and I'm mad.
The source of Jeffries' anger? Local TV coverage of a large anti-war rally.
The coverage of that demonstration consisted of one interview of one little girl, and she was asked, why are you here? And she said, because war is wrong. And that was the extent of the public debate.
Many at the meeting, including Olivia Sosi, claimed radio and TV failed to cover issues and politics in a balanced way.
I believe the polarization of the country and the increasing willingness of individuals to voice ill-informed prejudices publicly is directly related to the abandonment of the so-called fairness doctrine by the FCC at some time during the Reagan years.
The fairness doctrine required broadcasters to give equal airtime to opposing points of view. For their part, local commercial broadcasters, when they have braved these meetings, have defended their community commitment by touting the number of public service announcements they've aired, the charity events they've sponsored, and their local TV news teams. At a meeting in Monterey, California in July, with Commissioner Michael Copps listening, KSBW-TV General Manager Joseph Heston defended the free market, low-regulation model.
The people decide what they want to watch and what they want to see. And the best operators doing the best job will indeed attract that audience and serve that audience to the best of their ability.
Well, I think you've got a little bit of skepticism out here on that.
That's good.
While hopeful, media reform advocates aren't really expecting their issues to become part of the election debate this fall. Neither John Kerry nor George Bush address media topics on their websites, although Ralph Nader does. Instead, activists are looking past the election when they hope communities will mount challenges to the upcoming license renewals of radio and TV stations across the country. For NPR News, I'm Paul Ingalls in Albuquerque.